Good morning. It's 31st of August. Our first reading for the day is 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm reading to you from the book Women of the Bible, and this section was written by Sister Margaret Fowler. It's about the little captive maid. Sister Margaret begins her study with these words. The story of the captive maid is one of which we hear little. It forms part of a greater story of important doctrinal significance, that of the healing of Naaman's leprosy. So we enlarge upon the need for humility and obedience, apply it to the essential rite of baptism, and by this time have forgotten the captive maid. Then, after relating the story, Sister Margaret writes this. What faith she showed! She was confident that the prophet would cure her master. If there were but a shadow of doubt in her mind, she would not dare suggest that he should journey to Samaria, nor that this distinguished captain of the host should lower himself to beg a favour of one of the despised people he had conquered. If the long journey should prove vain after all, the little captive maid would stand in some danger for having suggested it in the first place. But no such doubt seemed to have occurred to her. She had complete faith in the power of God. His prophets had raised the dead, so they could heal Naaman. It was as simple as that. The girl displayed remarkable courage in discussing her beliefs with her mistress, who worshipped another god. Some of us are reticent in mentioning the truth to our associates and would feel embarrassed to proclaim it to the lords of the realm. Do we realise how high Naaman's status was in the land of Syria? The first verse of 2 Kings 5 tells us that he was captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man with his master and honourable. It was on Naaman's hand that the king chose to lean when he went into the house of his god, Rimmon, to worship. Further, it was the king who persuaded Naaman to go to Israel and who also sent the letter to the king of Israel. In those days, the captain of the host appears to have ranked next in honour to the king. Gehazi asked the woman of Shunem whether she chose to be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host. A captain of the host of Israel, of course, not Syria, suggesting that the position was a high one in any country. Yet in this noble household, the slave girl proclaimed the power of God. True believers through the ages have never withheld God's message to others, however exalted. We think of Elijah, Daniel, Jeremiah and John the Baptist. But we often remain silent when we should speak. Finally, we recall that the little maid was a servant, or more correctly, a slave. She must have been a willing worker to have established such a harmonious relationship with her mistress. In the past, the servant was often despised, and he who performed menial tasks looked down upon. Yet the humblest work is elevated to a lofty plane if performed as unto the Lord. The very term servant has been exalted by its application to the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the form of a servant. The disciple of Christ does not aspire to leadership, but is happy to serve, as did his Lord. Matthew 20, verse 26 enunciates a remarkable paradox. Whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. The little captive maid sets an inspiring example in serving her earthly master conscientiously and kindly, then with faith and courage in speaking of the God of Israel, who alone doeth wondrous things. She could not have foreseen the far-reaching result of her words. The young slave girl had become an ambassador for the Lord. He who was next to the king in Syria made a great confession. Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Thank you for listening.